That's usually what I say, but I also was asked to mention that today is Kent's birthday. But the individual who asked me to mention that also asked me not to throw them under the bus, which for those of you all who know me, know that's like meeting me outside the handball court with an ice cold Dr. Pepper and telling me I can't drink it. So I'm not going to throw them under the bus. I'm going to stand them in front of it and push it right over them, Jen. So I would have thought she would have known better, but evidently Jen has a lot to learn. But on a more serious note, and I imagine this will embarrass this individual and make them very uncomfortable, and that's not my intent at all. But for those of you all who know Dorian, know that 6 months ago he couldn't have done that. And it's taken, I don't mean anything negative by this, it's taken a lot of work. And some of that credit goes to Joey. Joey has been a great mentor for Dorian. But the credit goes to the Holy Spirit. And I appreciate that. One of the things that you can always count on with Dorian, which I appreciate so much, is his enthusiasm. So I hope we have him for many more years to come. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Well, as we anticipate celebrating the birth of Jesus, let's spend just a few minutes, talking about this background that we just read about. Here you have Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were unable to have children because Elizabeth was barren, but an angel appeared to Zechariah and told him that his wife would conceive, and that she would bear a son, and his name was to be called John, and he was the one who was going to prepare the way for the Savior. And sure enough, she conceives. And then the angel appears to Mary and tells her she has been chosen to be the mother of the Savior, and that her relative Elizabeth has also been blessed with a child. And so Mary goes to see Elizabeth. And I don't know if Elizabeth knew she was coming. I feel fairly safe in saying that Mary didn't send her a tweet. Feel pretty safe in saying she didn't send her an email. Feel fairly safe in saying she didn't Facebook Messenger. I think that's what it's called. I don't know. I don't do Facebook. But I'm pretty sure Mary did not communicate electronically with Elizabeth that, hey, I'm going to come for a visit. So I don't know if Zechariah and Elizabeth knew Mary was coming or not. My guess is probably not. But when Mary walks in the house and cries out, hello, John the Baptist leaps in the womb of his mother. And you think about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah was a priest, but as far as we can tell, he wasn't anything special. He wasn't a high priest. And if you'll allow me to use this, he was just your common, ordinary, everyday Levite priest. It just happened to be his time to serve in the temple, and the angel appeared to him. And he didn't quite understand what was going on, and there was evidently some doubt in his mind about the ability of the Lord to do what the angel said he was going to do, and so he was struck mute. Can't you imagine that conversation when he comes out of the temple and tries to communicate to Elizabeth that it's time to go home? I bet there was a lot of hand gestures and writing going on. And then sure enough, she conceives. And then her relative Mary walks in the door, and that baby leaves her womb, and she cries out, blessed, blessed are you. And then she asks that question, which I sometimes think we just pass over too quickly. How is it? How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And I think what she's saying is, well, you know, who am I? Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And the thing that strikes me about that, about Zechariah and Elizabeth both, and about Mary, is that these individuals, as far as we can tell, are nothing special. They're not royalty. There's no noble blood flowing in their bodies. They're just, if you will, common, average, everyday people of God. They're part of the nation of Israel. And yet God used them to accomplish his purpose. And one of the things that that does for me, and I hope that it does for everybody, and if it doesn't, let me encourage you to think about this, because it should. And Paul deals with this a whole lot in his letter to the Corinthians. But God uses people. And we don't have to be anything special. We don't have to be of noble blood, if you will. We don't have to be the smartest of the smart. We don't have to be the brightest of the bright. But these individuals appear, at least on the face of it, with maybe an exception for Zechariah at this time. And again, after all, who wouldn't be a little befuddled, if you will, that all of a sudden this angel appears to you and tells you that your wife is going to conceive when you tried for years and years and been unsuccessful, and she's old? And this angel appears to you and says your wife is going to conceive and she's going to bear a son and he's going to be the forerunner of the Christ. Which one of us among us wouldn't go, I'm not sure about that? I'm not sure that many of us, if any of us, would say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, no problem. Got that. We'll take care of that. And she recognized that she was just a common, average Israelite woman. So who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And then Mary, when the angel appears to Mary, that says, greetings, you have found favor with God. Can you imagine what's going through her mind as she's wondering what kind of greeting this might be? And then the angel tells her, well, here's what's going to happen to you. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to conceive. And the child in you is going to be called Jesus. He is the Savior. And I don't know this for certain because we're not told, but I would imagine there's this long pause of silence as she kind of looks around and thinks about what the angel has just told her. And I think it's clear from the scripture she had heard these promises. She grew up from a very early age hearing the law and the prophets read. She probably couldn't read. I don't know if her parents could read. But she had definitely heard these prophecies read and explained at her house and at other people's houses and in the synagogues. And she had heard all of this. And I would imagine at least once the thought went through her mind, me? Really? God's chosen me to be the mother of his son? And while it appears, at least to me anyway, that she essentially asked the same question that Zechariah asked, which was, how's this going to happen to me? There evidently was a difference in their hearts. Zechariah evidently had a doubt whether or not the Lord could really do that. And so he was struck mute. Mary evidently knew God could do what he had promised. She may have been surprised that it was going to be through her, but she evidently knew that God could do it. And so she said, here am I. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. And then she expresses that beautiful song that we just finished reading. And there's a couple of things about that real quick that I want to talk about. Again, she obviously had heard the prophecies. And so she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. She understood those prophecies. And while she might have been surprised again that it was going to be carried out through her, She was confident that God could do what he had promised. So she talks about his mercy. And again, you know, on the day in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, and that perfectly beautiful, harmonious relationship that they enjoyed with God was broken, God was under no obligation from anybody in any way, shape, or form to do anything about that. He could have just let it go on. But instead, he had a plan. And it was because of his grace and mercy, not from any obligation that he had, but because of his grace and mercy, all of us have been given the opportunity through his Son to stand perfectly clean and whole and sinless before the God who created us. And Mary understood that. And so she says, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And then she says, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Again, not something that you would expect. For those of us who haven't grown up in the church, if you will, for those of us who haven't heard these stories from when we were little, if somebody were to come to you and say, there's going to be a king. There's going to be a king coming. Tell me who you think that's going to be from. How do you think that's going to come to pass? I doubt if any of us would come anywhere close to the real story. We would probably come up with some scenario that somebody, you know, very, very smart and perhaps very, very rich, or perhaps somebody from noble blood or from royalty would somehow have a child and you know, it would be announced to the world and everybody would be in awe. The idea that this common young lady would be chosen to be the mother of the Savior and that the Savior of the world would be born in a manger, that would never come to our mind. That's not the way we're conditioned. That's not the way we're taught. That's not the way we're trained. You remember the reaction of Jesus' disciples and some of his closest friends? You remember their reaction when he said, it's going to be hard for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember what they said? Well, you know, if the rich can't do it, you know, there's not much hope for the rest of us. We have been taught to think that only the brightest and only the wealthiest can do good things. And Mary said, that's not the case. He scattered the proud, he's brought down the mighty, and he has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Again, not a story any of us would ever come up with. And then she says something that I think we should all remember. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Anybody here ever get in a hurry? I was out on 465 a couple of weeks ago, and for those of y'all who are out of town and never been on 465, the speed limit is 55, which when I flew in here 20 years ago to find a place to live, that is the first time in 15 or 20 years I had ever been on a highway that was more than four lanes wide. When I moved to Wilmington, North Carolina, we didn't even have an interstate. You know, the biggest road we had was College Road, which was two lanes on one side and then a median and then two lanes on the other. So we get a rental car at the airport, and were trying to find Carmel, which was a joke because those of y'all who know me know I don't know east, west, north, and south. Thank you, Mark McKee. So we get in the rental car and we get out a map, and I don't know where I'm going. And so we call Carmel High School, and some nice lady answers. And I said, "We're at the airport trying to find Carmel High School." And she said, "Okay, go out of the airport, you know, and turn north or south." She gave me some north, south, east, or west, and, you know, and then another north, south, east, or west, and just on. And I finally had to say, "Ma'am," I said, "I'm sorry, I don't know which direction I'm facing." And she said, "You don't know which direction you're facing?" I said, "No, ma'am." And we had driven a little way. We had pulled off into a parking lot of a major grocery store. Because it's spelled M-E-I-J-E-R, or M-I-E-J-R, however, you know, it's major. And so the lady says, "Well, where are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm in a major parking lot." And she goes, "What?" I said, "I'm in a major parking lot." And she goes, "I've never even heard of that." And so I spelled it. And she goes, "Oh, Meyer." And I'm from Kentucky, so you all know what I think about your all's Indiana's educational system. And I'm thinking, well, whatever. So I finally told her, I said, "You're going to have to get somebody on the phone who can tell me straight, left, or right." And she says, "I can't do that." I said, "What do you mean you can't tell me left or right?" She goes, "I just know north, south, east, or west." So somebody else gets on the phone and tells me straight, you know, left, right. So I was on 465 the other day doing the realistic speed limit of 65 or 70. And I come upon this car in front of me who's going close to the real speed limit. And I was about ready to think some things that weren't all that nice, and I saw his bumper sticker, and his bumper sticker says, "I'm retired, go around." And I thought to myself, I've got to get me one of those. Because I'm retired, and most days I don't get in a hurry. You know, I get up, go exercise, have a little breakfast, play some handball, and then come to the building and do some work. So, it's relatively stress-free. And, you know, I thought, that's a pretty neat bumper sticker. I got to get me one of those. But I used to get in a hurry. And I used to get stressed out. And I used to get frustrated. And every now and then, I still get frustrated at certain things. Marries this young girl, probably in her mid to late teens. And she has heard these prophecies of a Savior. And she knows that those prophecies are hundreds and hundreds, several thousand years old. You ever think the thought went through their minds? I wonder when this is going to happen. I heard a statistic the other day, or some time ago, that just blew my mind. Do you know that most Americans live within 2 miles of a major grocery store? Do you know why? Because we're so lazy. We are so lazy that if we can't get to a major grocery store within 2 miles, we get upset, and we get mad. How many of y'all have ever had to wait in line at a fast food joint? How many of y'all, while you're waiting in line, wonder why they call it fast food anymore? Because look, it's been at least 3 minutes since I placed my order. I went to a restaurant the other day that was, quote, open, because the sign on the door said they opened at 11. And it was 11:30, and I walked in there. The place was essentially empty. I was met by the hostess, who said, "Do you have a reservation?" And I'm looking at all these empty tables, and I said, "No, do we need one?" And she said, "Yes." And I almost said something that I shouldn't have said. And so a gentleman came up to me and he says, actually, we're closed right now. We have a problem in the kitchen. And I turned around and I looked at the door and I said, well, it says 11 o'clock and it's unlocked. And he goes, I know, but we're closed. And I wanted to say something like, well, why didn't you just lock the door? We get upset at some of the silliest and some of the dumbest things, don't we? And yet here's this little young teenage girl who has heard these prophecies and who knows they are really, really, really old prophecies. And this angel is saying to her, you're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And she says, let it be done to me. I am your servant. We get bent out of shape that God doesn't answer our prayer within 30 seconds of our cry for help. She had enough faith to realize that even though these prophecies of a Savior coming through a virgin were thousands of years old, that when this angel said, you're the one, she said, yes, Lord, I believe. So as we celebrate this season, let's take a page from Mary. God will fulfill his promises. It may not be on our schedule. It may not be when we want him to fulfill it. And it may not be fulfilled how we think it ought to be fulfilled. But he will fulfill his promises because he remembers his mercies. And he remembers what he has promised us. And one day, we will all stand before the throne of God. And we will get down on our knees. And we will see our Savior face to face. If your relationship with God is not what it ought to be, it's not because he's up there taking care of somebody else. It's not because he's in heaven having forgotten what he promised to do for us. It's all on us. He loved you and I enough to send his son to die for us. His son loved you and I enough to leave heaven and to come to this earth in the form of a human and to experience and to be tempted in every way like as we are. And God loved you and I enough to send his spirit to guide us and to comfort us when life gets tough. And all of us here can attest to the fact that life gets tough. That's how much God loves us. That's how much he wants to have a relationship with us. And there's no reason to leave this morning without having that good, wholesome, beautiful relationship with God that he desires for each and every one of us. And if we can help you in that this morning, then just let us know while we sing.